May it please the court, John McConnell for Texas Division, Sons of Confederate Veterans, Granville Block, and Ray W. James. Texas SCV applied to the Texas DMV to have its proposed specialty license plate added to the over 300 specialty license plates available in Texas. It is undisputed that it met all of the design and technical requirements. However, the DMV denied Texas SCV a specialty plate because the Confederate flag portion of its logo was determined to be offensive to the public. The issue for this court is whether the First Amendment allows the state to discriminate against a speaker solely because some are offended. The DMV's position is yes, it can discriminate against specific messages based on some unquantifiable amount of controversy or offensiveness.
Is there, in your view, is there any degree of offensiveness that would allow the state to reject a particular license plate? I mean, we can think of things that would be so extremely offensive that, you know, any reasonable person would be highly offended. Does that matter in your analysis, or is that simply under the First Amendment something that the state can't consider?
Your Honor, that doesn't matter under my analysis. I think the Supreme Court has made it clear that offensiveness cannot be the standard by which you judge whether speech can be admitted in a forum or denied in a forum. You can't discriminate based on a level of offensiveness.
So they need, are you saying that we should strike down that test that they're using also, or are you just seeking us to rule as applied that it violated your client's constitutional rights?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm asking for the court to rule this as applied. I think the court doesn't have to address whether the offensiveness standard is unconstitutional and should be struck, as a facial challenge. My clients were discriminated against based on their viewpoint. They're the ones who applied for a plate. They were denied, and the offensiveness standard was what was used against them.
But in answer to Judge Smith's question, you also think just having offensiveness as the test is unconstitutional.
Right. The Supreme Court has made that clear. And I think also you can't have you can't have the listener's opinion be the way you decide whether speech should come in or not come into a forum. And so that's the standard.
So if we're concerned about offensive speech, though, do they still have the tools of defamation and obscenity and profanity, you know, that they can use other First Amendment concepts in crafting the test? Or we don't need to get into that?
I don't think we need to get into that today, Your Honor.
Why isn't this government speech and therefore protected by the government speech doctrine?
Sure. I think there are a few ways to look at that. And first, I think largely some of the discussion about private versus government speech in the specialty plate context is academic. If you look at the facts of these plates that are available in the state of Texas, you're talking about 300 plates, a wide variety of diverse messages. And I spelled out these in the briefing, but we have the Calvary Hill plate, which has three crosses on a hill, and it says one state under God. It's obviously Christian symbolism. We have Buffalo Soldiers plate, Korea Veterans, Choose Life. We have a plate that says Rather Be Golfing, a Dr. Pepper plate. These are not government messages, and I think it's to call these government speeches to ignore the reality of why folks choose to apply for a specialty plate, why people pay to get one on their car. They're all doing this to express themselves. And if you look at the advertising that advertises these programs for the state, it's all about expressing your message through these plates.
What do you do with the Sinan case? That was on property that everyone knew was public property.
Sure.
Which were individual messages.
Right. I think that case is distinguishable because in that case, you're talking about government monuments, which have, and the court noted, since the beginning of civilization, basically, monuments are going to be government speech. The government is the one who creates these monuments.
Well, ever since people started driving automobiles, people had government-issued plates on their cars.
Yes, Your Honor, but once they created a forum where you can personalize that plate to get a specialty plate, the state has opened up that for personal expression. I think a couple other reasons why the Summum case doesn't apply is because you're talking about there's a very much more limited space for speech. And the court...
If that would be the case, there would be not an infinite number, but potentially hundreds of spaces available in public park.
Yeah, well, one of the things the court relied on was that, and I don't know if it was the majority opinion or one of the concurrences, but the fact that you would be, at some point you'd be overrun with these monuments, that it would obviate any other purpose you could have for the park.
So then the governmental entity can control the number that's there up to whatever reasonable limits there might be, but it's still government speech.
Yes, Your Honor, under Summum, that's correct.
Other than your common sense argument that you're making, that it couldn't all be government speech because it's so diverse, and the government probably doesn't think that Kansas is better than A&M, or I don't know. What constitutional tests should we utilize in determining whether it is government speech?
Right.
And can you work us through that?
Sure. And this court hasn't addressed that. In the Henderson versus Stalder case, it was decided on standing grounds, and so the court didn't have to get to the private versus government speech issue. The Supreme Court gives us some guidance, and I would start this court back with Woolley versus Maynard, which first recognized that license plates have a private speech component to them. In that case, it was a state-issued plate that said, live free or die, and the court said that it could not compel people to display that message if they didn't want to, noting that there's a private speech component to having a plate on a car.
Okay, so the fact that it's not compelled on the car, and then do we look at how a reasonable person would view it?
Yes, Your Honor. A couple factors that the Supreme Court has told us we should rely on. The first one is you need to consider the degree of control over the message. And this is the Johans case, the beef, it's what's for dinner case. You need to consider what the degree of editorial control over the message. And in that case, Johans, the government had control over the whole programmatic message of beef marketing campaign. Similarly, in the Russ versus Sullivan case, which was the quintessential government speech case, the government had control over the whole message of this program that they were doing. In contrast, in this case, with the specialty plates, you have the control of the message being given to the nonprofit organizations who are applying for plates, the folks who are going on the myplates.com website to create specialty plates. The message, as the district court noted and correctly ruled, is from the person who's getting the plate. So that's the first thing you look at, is the degree of control over the message. The second thing you need to look at is, considering all the circumstances, would a reasonable person consider the speaker to be government or private person? And that is under Justice Souter's concurrence in the Summum opinion. And it was also one of the factors that the court relied on in the majority opinion in Summum, that those monuments have always been government speech, and that's what people interpret them as.
If you find this is government speech, we stop and you lose?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And also, what's the circuit split on government speech of these types of plates?
Right. So the fourth, seventh, eighth, and ninth circuits have held that it is private speech. Now, the fourth circuit held in 2002, in considering a similar issue with the Sons of Confederate Veterans, that it was private speech. The court 2 years later, in considering a statutory Choose Life plate, held that it was mixed speech, but that you still had to go to the First Amendment to analyze it. You didn't stop at government speech.
But that was a legislatively promulgated special plate rather than an open, say, bring your plate to us circumstance?
Yes, Your Honor. And the cases, I think that's
Is the Sixth Circuit on the other side?
Right, the Sixth Circuit has come out on the other side. And I think that's a pretty good gloss of the cases, which is, you have a statutory regime where every plate comes out is from a statute. You know, that's more likely to be found to be government speech versus somewhere where you create a forum and you say, come bring us your expression and we'll put it on a plate.
Are you arguing that this was politically motivated viewpoint discrimination? Because I noticed that a lot of the speakers are elected officials, and like there are more elected officials saying this is bad than there are saying I'm sponsoring this and this is good. Are you arguing this is politically motivated, or are you only arguing that this is straight up viewpoint?
I'm not arguing it's politically motivated. I don't think that matters under the law.
Well, that's the government has recognized that that's not a good purpose, that you can't politically, because so-and-so likes this, that we do it. And so the government's acknowledged that's an illegitimate reason to make these distinctions, but you're not arguing that here.
I'm not arguing that.
Okay.
But essentially, you the First Amendment says you can't silence the minority because of the views of the majority outweigh them.
These other circuit decisions have not taken sentiment into account, have they?
The most recent one, which I believe is the Roach versus Stouffer case, was after Summum, and believe cited Summum. I think they took that into.
Yeah, it was 28 days after Summum and decided.
In a footnote.
These other circuits really have particularly the early cases, obviously, pre-Summum, so they couldn't take them into account.
Yes, Your Honor. So your court will probably be the first one to consider that in detail. But I think you got to look at Summum in the context of the other government speech cases. And in those cases, you're looking at compelled speech. You're looking at government subsidies, which is not here. This program raised $9 million for the state so far. And you're looking at traditional government functions, such as putting up monuments in a public park. And I think one thing that, one way I read Summum in light of these other cases regarding specialty plates is, in Summum, you're talking about a public park, which is a traditional public forum. The Summum case says that when the state chooses whatever monuments it wants to put up, that is government speech. But that doesn't mean that that whole park becomes a non-public forum. That park is still a forum for other types of expression. Similarly, in this case, you have a forum of specialty plates. There are three ways to get there, one of which is what my clients did. They applied to the DMV directly as a nonprofit organization to have their plate created. You can also go through a third-party vendor. And then the third way is statutory plates. So similarly, if you're looking at a statutory plate, that may more likely be government speech. But if you're looking at something outside that context where people have said, bring us your expression, we'll put it on a plate, that is going to be more private speech.
Actually, of course, your analogy of Summum seems to me that what the analogy that works better is that on an automobile you have the license plate, which is traditionally always government issued, and that would be government speech, and right next to it, the person can put a bumper sticker that says vote for so-and-so. That's no different from having the park in Summum where you have the government speech as to the monuments that are there, but the person can go take a placard or something and march around and demonstrate or engage in some other form of self-expression.
Sure, Your Honor, but that's if you define the forum as the back of the car. But if the forum is the actual specialty plate, which is what was created for this purpose, then the analogy breaks down. And I think it also breaks down if you look factually at how many plates and the diverse messages of the plates that have been issued. And the Calvary Hill plate, if these plates are government speech, the Calvary Hill plate would violate the Establishment Clause. That court, your court, you don't have to decide that today. But I think clearly that would be the case. And, this court...
Why? Because it says one state under God?
No, because it has the three crosses on Calvary Hill, which is unmistakably Christian symbolism. And I think this court made that clear in... Yes, Your Honor. But I think that would be distinguishable from this case. But again, I don't want to argue that case. But I think that's something that needs to be considered, is that you do have all these expressions. Several of these plates refer to God. Several of these plates refer to commercial establishments, Mighty Fine Burgers. Is the University of Arizona a government? Is that the government speaking, the government of Texas? It just doesn't make sense. So those are the two factors you could apply. I'm running out of time, but we also believe it's viewpoint discrimination in a designated public forum. And I'll save the rest of my comments.
Yes, you've saved time for both. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. Viewpoint discrimination in the issuance of specialty license plates is both inevitable and entirely constitutional. Almost every specialty plate issued by the state of Texas expresses a viewpoint: animal friendly, fight terrorism, keep Texas beautiful, choose life. It is not tenable to maintain that the speech clause of the First Amendment requires a state to offer support terrorism specialty plates alongside fight terrorism, or make Texas ugly.
Mitchell, does this mean that if you don't win your government speech argument, you lose the
no,
case?
No, not at all. We still should win because we have not engaged in viewpoint discrimination. So either way, whether this is government speech or not, we still should prevail because there's been no viewpoint discrimination. We have not issued any specialty plate that disparages the Confederate battle flag or disparages or opposes the message that the sons of Confederate veterans are trying to espouse. Either ground is sufficient to rule in our favor. But it would be a rather pyrrhic victory for the state if the court were to uphold our authority to exclude the Confederate battle flag while simultaneously calling into question the constitutionality of every specialty plate that expresses one viewpoint at the expense of another. And the argument advanced by Mr. McConnell and the implications of that argument are truly staggering. They say in their reply brief that the court need not worry about the state being forced to issue license plates that say, make Texas ugly or support terrorism, because no one has yet asked for those plates. And but that response is not adequate. If someone were to come to the state and demand a specialty plate expressing the opposite message of a pre-existing specialty plate, the state would be forced into a choice: either issue the plate that says support terrorism or discontinue the fight terrorism plate.
Why isn't it unconstitutional to have a rule that says if it's offensive, we can veto it unless it's government speech? Why isn't that rule itself a grossly overbroad, unconstitutional? Unless it's government speech, it seems like the requirement, the test itself is unconstitutional to have that if it's offensive, because offensiveness has never been a legitimate constitutional way to distinguish speech. In fact, all the constitutional authority seems to say offensiveness is supposed to be allowed.
And there's no need to reach that question unless this court were to conclude that this is not government speech. So the state believes the most straightforward way to resolve the case is to say, okay, this is government speech,
but
and the offensiveness standard is fine.
Are you saying an offensiveness test is consistent with Supreme Court precedent? An offensiveness test itself?
An offensiveness test is fine as long as there's no viewpoint discrimination if this court were to find a limited public forum. So there are many premises we have to accept before we even get to that question, Judge Elrod. So first, this court would have to find that there's been a limited public forum established. If the court were to make that finding, then the test would be, have we engaged in viewpoint discrimination in the manner in which we have applied the offensiveness standard? They have not brought a facial challenge to the offensiveness test. So we don't have a position on that question. All this court needs to resolve is, did we apply the offensiveness test here in a constitutional way? And we did, because
well,
we did not.
They could also win if they show it's a public forum that's designated and it wasn't reasonably or narrowly drawn, and the offensiveness would be part of not drawing it reasonably and narrowly.
Well, it depends what forum is established. If it's a limited public forum, they have to show that we engaged in viewpoint discrimination.
Right.
If it's a designated public forum, they can win if they can show that we engaged in content discrimination.
And now, if it's a non-public forum, they can also win if they show it's viewpoint discrimination.
That's correct.
I'm just trying to work on
that. That's right. So there are different possible boxes here if one were to reject the government speech argument. But either way, we win, because we didn't engage in viewpoint discrimination if this court were to conclude that this were a limited public forum. And the notion that we can't engage in viewpoint discrimination is very hard to defend. It's there's no way to issue a specialty license plate without favoring one viewpoint over others. The state of Texas in this program has favored racial tolerance over bigotry. It's favored humane treatment of animals over cruelty. It has favored environmental preservation and conservation over exploitation. It's favored alternatives to abortion over abortion. If the rule that we must adhere to is one of viewpoint neutrality, we would have to issue specialty plates to all comers on these issues or abandon those specialty plates that we've already issued.
Is it the state of Texas's position that if it didn't include the Confederate battle flag and instead included the stars and bars, for example, that this would not be objectionable?
I don't know how the board would rule on that hypothetical proposal. The statutory standard is whether it might be offensive to any member of the public, and even there, the board has discretion.
That's a very unique statutory standard. Is it one person that's offended, or five people, or 2,000?
The board has discretion to make that call, and there's nothing wrong with that because this is government speech. The government can decide whether it wants to associate with a message or symbol or ideology, or whether it wants to disassociate from a message or symbol.
I guess I'm more interested in, I'm sorry, let Judge Prado.
Well, just, is it the flag that's been turned down? If they used the motto and said, long live the Confederacy or something of that type, without a flag, is that okay? Is it the flag that the state of Texas is concerned with, the motto? Would you censor what is said, or is it just the flag that the state determines?
I can't predict how the board would rule in that situation if that proposal were made to them. Certainly the image of the flag played a significant role in the decision to disapprove this particular proposal, and the decision to disapprove it was unanimous. So I don't know how they would come out on that situation that Your Honor suggests. But because this is government's...
And if it was a group of African Americans who wanted to use the flag, the Confederate flag, to say in honor of those slaves who were brutalized and taken advantage of or something of that nature, and chose to put the Confederate flag on their...
That probably would be approved. I don't see how that would be offensive. But again, it would be the board's decision to make, and we would defend any decision of the board because this is government speech. The only constitutional boundaries are imposed by the Due Process Clause, which prohibits arbitrary government conduct, the Equal Protection Clause, which requires the board to act in a rational manner and not to engage in race discrimination, and the Establishment Clause.
Is it arbitrary?
Those limitations would not come from the speech clause. If there are to be limitations imposed because this is government speech, it would have to come from another constitutional provision.
Like, does the Constitution place, any part of the Constitution place any limits on how far the state could go on the government speech topic?
If they want to promote that viewpoint, that global warming is a hoax, they have the prerogative to do that under the government speech doctrine. There may be limits imposed by the Equal Protection Clause if their decisions are irrational, if they fail rational basis review, if they're arbitrary, if they're engaging in race discrimination based on who's offering the proposed license plates. We're not in any way saying the state has carte blanche. But because this is government speech, the speech clause does not impose the relevant constitutional limitations here.
So is there not an arbitrariness problem at all by the fact that they already ruled that it was okay one day, and then the next day they tie, and then they rule it's not okay? What if Kanye West got a group of people down here next week and said, oh, Confederate flag's great because it's great for my merchandising? Are they going to change their mind again the next week? They can switch their mind based upon who shows up at the hearing whenever they want, and there's nothing arbitrary and there's no special speech protection in that scenario?
I don't think that's a fair characterization of what the board did here. The government speech doctrine allows the state of Texas to choose the symbols with which it will associate. It allows the state of Texas to choose the symbols from which it will disassociate. And we have chosen to disassociate from the Confederate battle flag on the ground that it's offensive. Now, Your Honor is positing a hypothetical where the board might change its mind because someone decides to use the Confederate flag in a manner that may not cause as much offense as the proposed specialty plate here was feared to do. The government can change its mind if it decides that it wants to associate with the Confederate battle flag. And some states have been more willing to do that than Texas.
What about the fact that the government already associates with the Confederate battle flag extensively? Did the court take that into account?
It's consistent with our argument. The government speech doctrine allows us not only to decide whether we will associate with that symbol, it allows us to decide how much we will associate with that symbol. And we may stop short of putting it on our license plates, even if we are willing to display that symbol in other contexts. That's the latitude that the government speech doctrine provides for the state of Texas.
What if this is in follow-up to Judge Smith's question about if there are any limits. What if a Hindu group wanted to put the swastika on it as a sign because it's a Hindu symbol for life is good or this is good? But the Hindu group wasn't allowed to do its license plate because the swastika is offensive. I think this comes from the district court opinion uses right. The swastika as an example. Is there some religious protection that the Hindu people can say it's not fair because there's a cross one for the Calvary people?
There may be an Establishment Clause issue, and we readily acknowledge that our decisions with specialty license plates are subject to Establishment Clause scrutiny. We do have the prerogative to exclude the swastika if it were offered by the Nazis.
But there's not a viewpoint thing that you're not allowing the Hindu religion to express its view, just like you allow the Christian religion?
There could be an Establishment Clause problem if we did that. It would not be a problem under the Speech Clause because the Speech Clause allows the government to engage in viewpoint discrimination when it's government speech. So I don't think you should be concerned, Judge Elrod, with the problem of giving preferential treatment to religious groups because we have a separate constitutional constraint imposed by the Establishment Clause. And other concerns that members of the panel have raised, I think, are also addressed by other sources of law. Judge Smith, for example, raised the concern about putting global warming as a hoax on state license plates. There are politically accountable government actors who will make these decisions. And if they put unscientific or ignorant messages on the plates, they can be held to account for that through the electoral process. We have good government laws that prohibit state property from being used for electioneering purposes.
How are they held accountable through the electoral process? These are not elected officials.
But members of state agencies are appointed by politically accountable actors, such as the governor.
It gets somewhat attenuated from accountability at some point, doesn't it?
We don't have a pure unitary executive in Texas. That doesn't mean there's no accountability whatsoever. And agencies are required to take public views into account. They listen to what the public says, and this case is a good example of that, where they were initially inclined to approve this plate, and after hearing responses from members of the public, they backed off. Similar reactions could happen if they were to propose license plates that denounce global warming or claim that it's a hoax, or if they're making other statements that are just ignorant or untenable or unscientific.
So if 5,000 people had shown up in favor of the Confederate flag and one person had shown up and said, this causes me great personal pain, they could still make the decision that they made here today, right?
That's correct, because this is government speech. So they can decide whether to listen.
It's not government speech.
If it's not government speech, then the court would have to decide whether this is a limited public forum. And if that's the case, the relevant question is, did we engage in viewpoint discrimination? And there again, the answer is clearly no. We haven't issued any specialty plate that disparages the Confederate battle flag.
But
hasn't
the court said that if you take some subject matters off the table, that in itself constitutes viewpoint discrimination, that by not choosing to discuss it, you are still engaging in viewpoint discrimination, not just content discrimination? The court has said that.
The line between content discrimination and viewpoint discrimination is not always clear. Rosenberger may be a good case that blurs the line a little bit, because the policy that the University of Virginia established excluded all religious speech, and the university defended that as content discrimination. The justices rejected that on a 5-4 vote. All the more reason why it's better to decide this case on government speech grounds, because there's no need for the court to get into these very difficult questions of when does content discrimination end and when does viewpoint discrimination begin.
Does the state of Texas exclude all religious speech if it's not government?
We could do that under the Speech Clause. Now, we would not do that because we have statutes in place that require certain plates to be issued, including the Calvary Hill plate that says one state under God. But we have that prerogative under the Speech Clause to exclude religious speech. Now, there may be other sources of law that impose constraints. There's the Texas Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which would prohibit discrimination against religious speech, but that would be a state law issue. It wouldn't be for this federal court to decide.
Are there other license plates with flags on them?
Well, every license plate
which
had the American flag.
Not just the American or the Texas flag. Are there any other flags on license plates?
I'm not aware of one off the top of my head, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me if there were such a license plate. Before, I think, 2010, every Texas license plate had the American flag on it, just
right.
as the normal.
But I'm asking about
specialty plates.
Specialty plates.
I don't know whether there are. But again, we have that prerogative under the government speech doctrine to decide whether we want some flags, no flags, many flags, which types of flags.
But doesn't it seem a little bit arbitrary if you don't know whether you would exclude the stars and bars? Because, and the reason you don't know is because you don't know if enough people would recognize it to be offended.
Well, I don't know because it's not my decision to make. It's the board's decision. Okay. I'm just defending the decision they made here in this case.
But I'm just saying that it's all dependent upon whether enough people show up to protest that day.
I don't think it's dependent on that. It's dependent on the board's judgment. And they will certainly consider the views of people who show up and express their concerns. But it doesn't mean the board's going to give in to whoever shows up at their hearings. They have the discretion, and the government speech doctrine allows them to do that.
Does the board have discretion to order a new vote when the vote's been successful?
That's a question of the board's internal procedures. I don't think the speech clause imposes any constraint on that whatsoever. It's not a question of constitutional
law.
No,
I'm asking, did the board comply with its internal procedures in this matter?
Well, my understanding was the first vote was deadlocked.
I thought the first vote was a clear winner.
Well, they can decide how they want to make a final decision under the speech clause. And there's no basis for a federal litigant in federal court to fault a state agency for failing to comply with state law.
Well,
that's jurisdictionally barred.
If you don't comply with your own policies, it might tend to indicate that you're intending to discriminate.
Well, they haven't made that.
That can be some evidence that you, we wouldn't be able to say you shouldn't have complied with your policy, therefore we're going to invalidate. But we could say that's some evidence that they didn't act fairly and that they had an agenda.
That's not the claim the plaintiffs have brought here. And they're jurisdictionally barred from seeking a remedy on the grounds that we violated state law or that we violated
right.
some
and
internal
agency
procedure.
I'm not saying it's an independent claim. I'm just asking if you believe they followed their procedures correctly.
Well, they reached the decision that they reached. And because they acted in the manner that they did and they have the prerogative to decide their procedures, I'm going to say that they have the prerogative to change the procedures if they want to.
Perhaps. They have the prerogative to change their mind. And say the composition of the board changes, and this year it's okay, but next year it's not. And
yeah.
And withdraw our permission for you to have this plate this year, but next year we might be different. Could they do that?
They can do that as long as there's no statutory requirement to issue the plate. And some of these plates are mandated by statute. Choose life, that's in a statute. They can't revoke that plate unless the legislature does. One state under God, same thing. There are about 60 other plates that are statutory mandates. But as for the others, the board has discretion. They can approve a plate, they can revoke that approval later if they decide that it's no longer consistent with statutory standards or no longer consistent with what the state of Texas wishes to associate with. And it's totally to be expected that the state may change its views over time about symbols like the Confederate battle flag. There was a time, perhaps decades ago, where it would have been more tenable for the state to associate with that symbol, and not so today.
That's the state of Texas out of step with its fellow states on this issue?
It's a hard question to answer, Judge Elrod, because many states that have acceded to this proposed license plate design have done so under the threat of litigation. So I wouldn't necessarily count those states as supporting the idea of a specialty plate.
But there
if they're doing it,
states now that have these specialty plates?
Yes, but some of them were done under court orders, and some of them were done under the specter of threatened litigation. So we've taken the stance that we've had, and we're defending it now in court. But I don't believe that decisions of other states that were done perhaps under real or imagined duress should weigh into the calculus here. Finally, the text of the First Amendment needs to be considered in cases like this. And it's common for other courts considering these questions to get so wrapped around the axle about limited public forums and no viewpoint discrimination rules that the text is relegated to an afterthought. Has the state of Texas abridged the freedom of speech of the sons of Confederate veterans by refusing to propagate their desired message and image on a state-issued license plate? Of course not. The sons of Confederate veterans have the same freedom of speech that they had before this specialty program existed. And all the state of Texas has done has been to increase the options available to them of the license plates and images that they can place on their car. The word abridge means to diminish. And it does not give anyone the right to commandeer the machinery of government to promote or desire their desired message. And that is what the plaintiffs are seeking to do here, and that is why their speech clause claim must be rejected.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple comments. The Sons of Confederate Veterans may have, without getting their plate approved, they may have the same opportunities for speech as they did before the specialty plates were created, but they are not given the same rights that other nonprofit organizations are given vis-a-vis the specialty plates. One thing on viewpoint discrimination, the Fourth Circuit Court in their Sons of Confederate Veterans decision recognized that the logo for the SCV that includes the Confederate battle flag would advance the view that the flag is a symbolic acknowledgement of pride and Southern heritage and ideals of independence. In this case, there is a real message that is expressed by the Confederate flag, and it's in the Texas SCV's logo because it is part of their message and part of their history. That is the reason that if you're discriminating against the flag as it's in their logo, you're discriminating against their viewpoint. You saw at the public hearing in the record, there were comments made. The vast majority of people were opposed to this plate. But and the reason virtually universally was because of the symbol of the Confederate battle flag. And so you obviously, there's a debate over what the meaning of the Confederate battle flag is. Some people view it as a symbol of white supremacy, bigotry, segregation, hatred. Some people view it as a symbol of independence, Southern heritage, and pride. The state cannot enter into that debate and silence one point of view and endorse the viewpoint of others. And that's why there is viewpoint discrimination in this case. On the and to kind of go back to this view that the offensiveness standard is just unworkable, in addition to the fact that the different votes at different vote counts throughout the history of this case, or throughout the history of the voting, there's also the issue of, you know, how do you define what the level of offensiveness is? And I think Judge Elrod was right on with that point. The Buffalo Soldiers plate was passed the same day that Texas SCV's plate was denied, even though Jerry Patterson in the hearing said that he had spoken to some Native Americans who were offended by that plate. So that there's a real problem of defining what level of offensiveness would matter here, and that's why the court, Supreme Court, has given us good guidance over whether offensiveness can be a standard you can use or not. Finally, on the political accountability issue, the First Amendment does not require that people who are expressing minority viewpoints only go through the political process to get their message expressed. You cannot rely on the political process alone to have your viewpoints expressed. That's why we have the First Amendment. So relying on the political process alone would turn the First Amendment into majority rule, which is a bad result. So I think that the government speech doctrine is newly minted. It should be limited in its application. The court should look at the history of the government speech doctrine and look at the context of this case as a opening the door to any application of the government speech doctrine in any sort of forum. It's our position that if the court in this case finds that the specialty plates are government speech, it would necessarily mean that a wide variety of forums for speech would also be government speech. And then you would be effectively disregarding and going against decades of precedent in the forum speech context. Unless there are any questions, I'll.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your case, all Today's case is under submission.